on the Midday 180.
We are ready to talk some Titans football. What separated the Ravens from the Titans on Sunday? Blake Bedingfield will tell us. Or will Dan Patrick? We'll find out. Midday 180 starts now.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
So let me get this right, Reed. Dan Patrick's show was scheduled on the log today.
I have no idea what just happened.
Did the ghost of Dan Patrick just invade our
airwaves? So someone said Dan Patrick should play today over the Midday 180 on the log?
Wasn't me.
Let's get McLovin on as a guest.
I just want that out there on the record.
Let's get McLovin on the show to find out what's going on.
I am just as confused as
everyone. J. Martin Ramon ended and Dan Patrick started.
You should have seen.
Should we leave?
You should have seen the looks in our eyes.
Should we leave?
When we all heard that at the same time.
I've got some things to do.
Should Dan Patrick just take over the show?
Coming up, Dan and the Danettes. Throwback Tuesday.
Have a great morning, everyone. See ya. How did that happen?
Yeah, find out what happened.
If we need
to leave and play Dan Patrick, we can.
It's a strong lineup, live and not local.
I mean, we respect those guys.
Yeah, they're excellent.
We had a great time with them in Phoenix. A
lot of good interviews.
Tex McLovin. Ask him what's going on.
Hey, you'll get some NBA talk.
Michael Burgeon on
Last
Twitter says, I did not expect a Dan Patrick run-in. I mean, I wish that we could have had the video of all of our faces when Dan Patrick is just running during our time slot.
Let's get McLovin on as a guest and ask him about it.
Figure out what's going on.
Let's see what's going on. Yeah, we got sources everywhere. I'll effort.
We are well connected. A lot more than people know.
Or want to give us credit for.
Well, they make it easy when they play Dan Patrick to start our show.
Yeah. Might want to not leave that there.
Anyway, good morning, guys. I mean, we'll just stay on the air as long as we want to. Yeah.
As long as Dan Patrick
morning, everyone.
As far as we know, we're live.
Dan Patrick may want to be back on.
Who knows what break? What break we'll come back from with Dan Patrick talking over us. Why don't we run the two shows simultaneously?
Let it go. The next time Dan Patrick starts, it's Dan Patrick's show.
We'll pack up and go.
If they're going to put that in the log, leave it in there.
Do our thing. How's that log work? Why don't we go behind the scenes a little bit here?
Look how confused Chad looks.
Talk about the inner working.
Well, and everybody that's tweeting us is confused too. I don't even know how to respond.
This is our response. The next time it plays, Dan Patrick can play.
Yeah. He's got some good Titans thoughts. I think
they're really talking local sports there.
He talked about UT lately.
I think the Clippers got a win last night.
Yeah. I think they covered. A lot of NBA talk.
Stay tuned. More Lakers talk in the 10 a.m. hour. It's what all of you want to hear here in Nashville. Seth says, felt like 2016 for a minute.
Perloff just texted me back. He said, they don't tell me anything. So my main source is out of the
room. I love how McLovin always gets back to you immediately, though. It's great how he quickly responds to Paul every time.
The great thing is, if there was anyone on that show who's clueless, it's going to be him, right?
I got the most clueless source on
the
show.
He's playing his role well. He's always in character. Did you guys get any snow yesterday?
Unexpected first segment.
The snow remains in the borough.
We got a dusting in Mount Juliet.
Williamson County schools start an hour late today for easier transportation on the slippery roads. Listen, I know there's gerrymandering. I use this word a lot for political purposes. I think we should do it for road purposes. I want a gerrymandered county where all of the roads are fine. No backwoods in Williamson County that are going to prevent schools from operating. No area, quite frankly, that doesn't have internet that's going to mess with remote schools if we have to have
it. You want everyone who's going to Page to be in a different county.
Yeah, I just want everyone in my county to have functional roads. Is that a big ask? Is that crazy? Is that elitist?
I don't like the price tag, Paul, but there are many benefits to paying for private school. And being in school pretty much all the time is one of them.
Well, here's the thing. I thought
MJCA is very reluctant to stop school for anything.
I thought I might be late today.
And they got hit by a tornado.
Teresa is scheduled for the vaccine. And so I have to be home for Simon to get home on the bus today, which is fine. But I thought I might have to stay home for Simon to get on the bus because she may have had to get in at an earlier hour. Fortunately, it's scheduled up. Otherwise, you guys would have had the whole Dan Patrick conversation without me. And I wouldn't have been able to talk to
Maybe Pearl. The whole show.
Maybe the whole show. Maybe I would have just taken a sick day.
Who knows? Maybe Dan Patrick's on tomorrow.
Tomorrow, if the road
it may be on at 9:15. I don't know if it's in the log or not. I told Reed, if it is, let it roll.
This creates great intrigue now.
Reed, fix a thing.
Our ratings are going to really shoot up. People are going to tune in every day to see if it's us or Dan
Patrick. Paul, you can't say that word.
I can say ratings.
Ratings.
I can't say meters.
Meters, ratings.
Oh, don't say meters.
Lebowski says, please, no Dan Patrick. I don't want to hear another interview with Adam Sandler about whatever garbage movie he's producing and starring in.
Get yourself ready, Lebowski.
James Lewis says, I'm not leaving, except today.
Except for today. Except today.
Oh, my goodness.
There's been a lot of demand for Dan Patrick. From Dan Patrick.
Well, Dan wasn't bad. I enjoyed Dan's show. He's one of the best interviewers.
I love Dan Patrick. One of my heroes.
Good dude.
It was a true thrill when we met him in Phoenix. For me, at least.
All those guys are great guys. Yeah. I remember when we interviewed him right before or right after we knocked him off the air in Nashville.
Since we're rolling in Pissed Off for Greatness, and now even more so after the start of the show, let me applaud Corey Curtis of News 2 for doing something, whether you agree or not, that I have never once heard any local television person have the balls to say.
I've got to
And that is something negative about someone in the sports community locally. So good job, Corey. With his rant on Mike Vrabel.
Let me counter this. Corey Curtis could have said this any day. Corey Curtis grew stones right after he doesn't have to talk to Mike Vrabel for 2 or 3 months.
Great.
This is very brave of Corey Curtis. When he doesn't have to face Mike Vrabel anymore, he's willing to say, I'm done with Mike. You know what? Now that I don't have to be in any more Zooms with Mike Vrabel, I'm done with Zooms with Mike Vrabel, man. I hate these
good
Zooms.
Good for him not having to sit through a Zoom that's meaningless.
Is Mike Vrabel those still are the head mind coach numbing. Of the Titans?
I mean, yeah. Vrabel doesn't want to answer any of those questions. Today. There's nothing that comes out of that except for, hey, Mike, I'm using my Sawzall in my bathtub right now.
You don't think that Corey Curtis started getting texts from people in that office?
Still not the same.
The moment that happened?
Still not the same. You write or say something negative about somebody and you face him tomorrow, it's a big difference.
If he was fired,
facing him in 2 months.
If he was fired or if he left for a different job, I would agree with you. And he didn't have to face him at all. He's still going
to
see him.
Big difference to grow stones right after you don't have to face the guy anymore. Say it when you have to see him. That's the challenge. When you really have something critical to say.
He's going to have to see him.
Mike Vrabel's got a short memory. He's pissed today. At the combine, he's not going to give a crap anymore.
Yeah.
This is growing muscles right after it's over. I respect what Corey said, and that's nice. But say it when you have some meaning to it. The moment the Zoom's over, he grew muscles.
If we see you,
good for him for saying something that no one else has said.
That's great.
Including you.
Grow some muscles beforehand. I don't care what Mike Vrabel says in his Zoom.
Then why go? Because he's not saying anything.
There's some news there, and he answers my questions sometimes in a satisfactory way.
What news? We learned that Corey Davis was hurt. That's pretty much it yesterday.
Well, that's better than not knowing.
They don't say anything about Isaiah Wilson.
Look, you guys go ahead and lift up Corey Curtis on a rickshaw. That's not a courageous move. That's a...
This is an anti-local TV stance.
Well, Corey Curtis was in every one of those Zooms getting 20 seconds of video that he didn't care what was on it and using it on his newscast every night. He didn't have a problem with it until it was over. So it's a bit of a hypocritical stance there. And then as soon as it's over, as soon as the camera goes off, then he's critical. Let's hear him be critical during it. Show me a piece of Corey Curtis being critical.
How many questions, Paul, during the season?
Let me hear him ask a tough question during it.
How many questions during the pressers throughout the year did you come back here and say, that's not something he's going to address right now. He'll address it in the offseason. Yesterday was the time to address those things. True or false?
Yesterday was a better time to ask some of those things.
No, the time. Yeah. The time.
And what
that's
did,
the
what
end
did
of the season presser.
Did he answer about Isaiah Wilson?
Because the next one will be previewing the offseason with the draft.
Yeah, yesterday's the best time to ask some of those.
And when those topics were approached, it's I've got nothing to say. I've got no issue with.
And I'm sorry, but Mike Vrabel's allowed to not be a jerk to everyone.
I agree.
He can go in and not act like he's the smartest guy in the room. And then he says, well, I guess I apologize about not having a defensive coordinator. Well, yeah, duh.
I'm not defending Mike Vrabel.
That was a terrible answer on defensive coordinator.
Terrible answer. There were a lot of terrible
answers. Why should Shane Bowen be back? That's the follow-up that I have today.
He's protecting
Shane
Bowen.
If the defense is that bad, and yesterday we learned that Shane Bowen's doing all that?
We knew that Shane Bowen was doing all that.
No. That's the first time he said that. Come on.
I knew that Shane Bowen was acting as defensive coordinator.
That is the first time that he sat up there and named everything that Shane Bowen shouldn't return to the staff if that's the case.
I knew he was doing all that. And
true or false?
I would bet money that Shane Bowen gets the defensive coordinator title. I bet he doubles down and gives him the title.
That is a horrible, horrible move if they do that.
I agree.
All-time worst on third down, and they're going to name the guy defensive coordinator officially because that was the issue?
I would bet you that's what happens.
Terrible.
I don't know what kind of odds.
Then if that's the case, then Mike Vrabel deserves whatever he gets after next year's horrific performance on defense.
I wrote in my game story. I didn't wait for a follow. I wrote in my game story. He needs to change the way he thinks about staff. He fired Tyrone McKenzie probably to hire Jim Haslett. Jim Haslett did nothing. Jim Haslett in those Zooms, which is the impression I get of a guy, look like a guy who's everything's passed by. That looked like a favor hire.
What does Mike Vrabel look like in Zooms? If we're going to judge people by Zoom.
Yeah, but we have a body of work to see Mike Vrabel on. We see his decision-making and his game performance. We don't see that for Jim Haslett, per se.
I will double down on saying, good job, Corey Curtis, for showing some honesty. Whether people agree with it or disagree with it, he's going to get crushed by Titans lovers everywhere.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Oh, you guys are so mad that Vrabel just destroys y'all's souls every week on the Zoom. You guys are all so crying because
asleep.
He does this. No, he doesn't.
Say it last week, Corey. Stone up, say it last week.
I don't care when he says it. It's the first time I've seen any local TV person say
it. I agree with that. It's
so
the first time a local – good for him that a local TV person said something. Now the next step is, A, say it when there are consequences to it, and, B, ask a question that pertains to that. You didn't have any tone in your questions. You didn't – in your questions, you're always saying, thanks, coach. Really appreciate the time, coach, all of that. So you're all polite
talk
and slurpy, slurpy in the Zoom. Then the Zoom's over. Then you insult them and say something. Stop slurping in the Zoom. That's a way to protest, Corey.
Don't slurp
in the Zoom.
I saw the video. I thought it was a very honest moment of frustration. I don't think he planned it. I think it just sort of came out. I don't think it was something
that was
planned
by him to come out there. Here's the other part of the honesty. The reporters in that Zoom are more interested in the chat than they are asking questions. True or false, Paul?
It's more about you guys
get in there and text message on the Zoom chat and giggle about that more than anything.
I try to stay out of that chat because I've gotten in trouble for it, and I text.
Off and running. Is the machine working back there, Reed?
It is at this moment.
When we come back, either us or Dan Patrick.
Are we ever going to get an
answer? If we're back, we'll continue with the truth. That's what we'll continue with.
Let's put out a poll question. Will we ever get an answer on why that happened?
No.
Or are people ducking their head in this building right now doing nothing?
There's no one in this building.
Can anybody hear it?
There's no one in this building.
Our listeners heard it because...
Yeah, look at our Twitter feed.
Because people listen at 9.
No, I don't mean our listeners. We know hundreds of thousands of people are listening. You know who I meant.
Phone lines are open. We're pissed off for greatness. We hope you are as well. 615-737-1045. Be like Corey Curtis on this show. 737-1045.
How about Ohio State getting it done for me?
Props
to
a Titans player who said what the head coach should have said yesterday about Isaiah Wilson. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
So we were conferencing on our way to the office today, as we often do, and I got cut off, as I so often do, and so I hit something that instead of, like, trying to call both of you back.
I've done this before.
I tried to FaceTime both of you back. And now my phone's stuck on this thing where there's like a pending FaceTime call to both of you. I'm looking at both of you. I don't really need to FaceTime both of you. I shut down my phone to try to get rid of it now. I cannot get it out of my screen.
Paul is like one of the Real Housewives. Every time on that show, they always FaceTime each other. And Angie would always laugh. Like, why are they FaceTime? Well, that's because they can hear it on the deal and they can show them on there. But it's just funny. Every call is a FaceTime.
We conference,
with the women of Real Housewives.
We conference a lot for this show, and we do not FaceTime ever.
No. No one wants to see that. By no one, I mean the three of us. We don't want, we see each other a lot. There's no need to add time seeing each other's faces.
Not at all.
Yeah. I got your faces down.
Roger Saffold said what others in the organization should be saying publicly today about Isaiah Wilson in the exit presser. He said, I haven't talked to him since he was suspended. But let's be real. Being a young athlete, there are a lot of challenges that you go through. You can either handle it or you don't know how to handle it. And right now, the next decision for his future here belongs to John Robinson, Coach Vrabel, and our staff. And then he goes on to say, we have a certain way of doing things here. We have a blue-collar mentality where you work, and everything you get, you earn. So sometimes the decisions that you make, you have to live with the consequences.
Very good. Applause, applause. Here's the thing about Vrabel.
It's also treating the team, you being treated as you treat the team.
Which is a mantra.
All Vrabel would say is, I can't comment on Isaiah.
And then Mike Vrabel sitting there not saying anything about it.
Yeah. Well, they bought themselves.
I can't even begin to comment.
They bought themselves safety. I think they're probably technically not allowed to comment on a guy who's on the non-football illness.
You know what he could say? When Isaiah Wilson works through whatever personal issues he's going through and he's back, he's going to have to prove that he wants to be a part of this team.
Yeah, I would think he can say that, and he should have said that. Look, I mean, they've made.
But again, it goes back to him not wanting to say anything.
No. Isaiah Wilson makes them look foolish every day by posting something new.
Yeah, but they brought it on themselves by drafting, where they did insufficient.
They've done nothing but show that guy respect, and he's done nothing but turn around and put the middle finger in the air towards the entire team.
This is the downside of that. On one hand, people could say, well, he's a first-round pick. That's an investment worth treating well and worth trying to resuscitate because you don't want to throw out a first-round pick that quickly. On the other hand, it's Roger Saffold, who does everything the right way, who has bought into this team mantra, who's bought into this locker room, who believes this is a sustainable, successful franchise if they continue to live by their own mantras. And he's being disrespected by Isaiah Wilson. And that entire offensive line group is being disrespected by Isaiah Wilson. That entire locker room is being disrespected by Isaiah Wilson. And you know who's disrespecting me now? My head coach that preaches accountability. And my general manager that preaches accountability and loving football and loving the team. And if they allow that to persist because he's a first-round pick, I got a problem with that.
Well,
and that's where your locker room starts to ask questions, and I don't blame them.
I think to a degree, the locker room feels like, oh, good, they got him out of here. I don't have to see him. Wouldn't you think that? Like,
how are they going to feel when he shows back up?
Yeah, to this point, though, they said, all right, they didn't cut him, but they got him away from here. I don't have to look at him. I don't have to deal with him. I don't have to hear about him to a large degree. They did the best. They did something good for the team by removing him from this situation.
The three of us, at least, I like to think that we're not stupid. We're good at reading between the lines. What they did is they sent Isaiah Wilson away from Roger Saffold. They sent Isaiah Wilson away from Ben Jones. And away from David Quisenberry, right, and away from his coaching, his offensive line coaching staff, and away from any leadership whatsoever, any structure to that locker room. And they told him to GTFO, we don't want to see you around here anymore.
Don't poison anything.
What more evidence do we need that they are done with him?
I agree. I don't see any way that he comes back. I mean, if you really care about rehabilitating someone, the last thing you do for someone you feel is lost is throw them to their posse to go to South Beach and party. And that's exactly what the Titans did.
I see an avenue back.
Well, then why would they do that?
What is that avenue?
Well, what's the purpose of just discarding him and saying, go ahead, man, go do what you need to do. You got no structure here.
You don't want him interfering with the playoff season, but now you're in a totally different time.
So now you bring him back in to rehabilitate him in the off season?
Yeah, quietly, more individually, talking with his agent. It's a you go. I look. I'm not saying I endorse this. I'm saying I can envision it. You say, all right, you screwed everything up. We're going to clean slate this. We're going to rebuild this, and we're going to get you to a place where you can help us. You've got until the end of camp. You screw it up, you know. One screw up, you're out. But we're going to clean slate it. You're a first-round pick. You're a talented guy. You can help this team. Let's wash things clean, and let's go forward here. I'm not endorsing this.
I don't know how you can do that. And I just, again, just reading the tea leaves, Paul, I'm with Hutton on this, that I don't, the moment they GTFO'd him, right, to use the verbiage of the show, that to me was a sign that they really aren't that interested in this guy being a part of things moving forward.
Well,
because they could have easily kept him in the fold, kept him engaged.
You could get rid of him with structure, and not have him poison the rest of this season.
If you think he's poisoning the rest of the team in this season in the locker room, then why would you try to rehabilitate and bring a guy that like him back? I just don't. If you honestly believe that, well, he's going to poison the rest of the team, so we got to get him out of here. Then there's no way they have any interest in bringing him back.
April's way different. April's way different than November.
Because
if you hold the same practice dummy in both of those months.
If they had any faith in him, Paul, then you keep him there with an earpiece in during the games in the sideline. He's showing up.
They didn't have any
7 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day at the facility
in November. But in April, they could have him show up, work with the trainer, separate of anybody else. Like have a Marine Corps restart.
I mean,
showing up at Paris Island.
This is kindergarten.
I agree.
Let's put him off to the side and let him work in the teepee, the peace teepee on the side, and go read his books during story time there, not with the rest of the group.
I'm not saying it happens.
This guy's a millionaire. He's a first-round pick. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. That is not treating people who treat the team poorly the way you claim you're going to treat them.
Well, he treats the team poorly. They will treat him really poorly in these side workouts. They will beat the hell out of him. They'll go the old Waterson. I'm saying there's a scenario where treat him like Waterson with these guys. I'll have him on a damn canoe out on that lake. They will break him down and rebuild.
They won't do anything like that to him.
It's conceivable.
They'll give him a bottle.
They'll pamper him if they bring him back.
I'm not for any scenario like that. But I think John Robinson can't afford to totally admit defeat yet on a first round pick, even though it's defeat.
Here's what I want from John Robinson: make this next first round pick great.
Yes, that has to be.
What matters. I think the jury is out on this last first round pick. Moving forward is where you gotta. A race for the sins of this past offseason.
And I was talking to some people who, you know, were looking at Judon stats and Ngakoue stats, you know, and saying, if you paid this guy $18, $19 million for 5.5 stats, sacks, you'd be killing him. And I said, look, you got to overpay to get that guy. And I'll say, like, you put him opposite Harold Landry and let them go, and I'll take what they get. I'll give me a Bible. I'll put my hand in the air. I expect production, but if they don't get production and they're on the field on a regular basis with high effort, you've got to overpay for that. Now, I want them to be Preston Smith or Za'Darius Smith. I want you to hit like Green Bay hit.
But the key is they have two guys.
Yeah, you got to have a second guy. And like you've said, Hutt, you got to get three guys.
Yes. Now,
one of them's got to be a premier free agent. One of them's got to be a high
it's
draft.
It's the mandate.
Where the other one comes from, you know, I don't know. But I'll pledge, if they go get that guy and he only gets 5.5 sacks, I'm all right with it. I got to see the investment. I got to see the determination to get him. And I'm okay with overpaying. Sometimes you have to overpay.
I'm not okay with 5.5 sacks for the guy they go get. They need to assess the player that they're going to go pay and get a game changer.
I agree.
Otherwise, this defense is right back where they are right now, and they suck. They are so bad on defense.
Here's what I'm saying.
So bad.
If they go get the best guy, and he plays his ass off, and he doesn't get 10 sacks. Are you going to crucify him for it?
Am I going to crucify the GM or the player?
The team.
No, you're asking the wrong guy. Turn around and point at yourself. I'm not crucifying Harold Landry today. He's their best pass rusher.
I don't know why I'm crucifying myself. I'm asking you. If they go get the best guy and they pay him top dollar.
They won't.
Just answer the hypothetical. If they get the best guy and he comes in and he doesn't have double-digit sacks, are we going to crucify them for that? It's kind of a Yancey Thigpen question.
No.
They needed the best receiver. They went and got the best receiver.
Here's the addendum to that question. Is Shane Bowen still their defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Then, yes, I do crucify them. Because they just paired the best guy on the market with a guy who's terrible as defensive coordinator.
I don't think Shane Bowen's going anywhere.
You think he's going to be the defensive coordinator?
I think it's more likely than not he's going to be the defensive coordinator.
So Vrabel will be the defensive coordinator again.
Well, you just said after Vrabel listed all the things that Shane Bowen's doing that he was the defensive coordinator.
So Vrabel had he wasn't.
Well, sure, he had plenty to say. Any coach on from one side of the ball is clearly very influential in the coordination of that side of the ball.
Phone lines open, 615-737-1045. Quick news, Tennessee basketball tweeting out tonight's game versus Vanderbilt postponed due to COVID-19 issues within the Vanderbilt program. Tennessee came to Nashville on a bus and got here and turned right back around and drove back to Knoxville with some snow on the ground. They say that Saturday's game against the Commodores in Knoxville is still on as of right now.
You would think that's at risk, though. I mean, if somebody on Vandy has COVID, what changes between now and Saturday? Unless it's close contact thing, right?
Well, the very weird home-and-home week with Tennessee and Vandy playing both their games, knocking it out in 1 week, is now not going to happen. We know that. Maybe the game on Saturday happens, but the game tonight, postponed.
How did we enjoy the football game last night?
By the way, how weird is that Tennessee makes that announcement?
Yeah.
Tennessee basketball tweeted that out.
Well, Vandy doesn't really have a sports information department.
Yeah, I think that seems like Vandy's news to tweet out.
Well, Vandy has to process that through the chancellor and the president and who else? I mean, 16 layers. Vandy will have that announcement by the end of the show, maybe, you think, Hutt? Or is that too fast?
I don't know. Is it because they were about to leave to come here?
No, they came here, Chad said.
Yeah, I'm looking.
They're here.
Tennessee basketball's Twitter account is terrific, by the way. Really funny.
Are they here?
With what they do. But I think they had some sort of gif of them to Nashville and back again without playing. I think they just got here.
It's awfully early.
Or they were here last night.
Last night would make sense.
I don't know that they would go the night before, though, for a game where they're bussing over.
But coming today,
it seems more like they would drive.
9:30?
Yeah, but they would get here and have a shoot around somewhere.
Yeah.
And then
get off your feet for a while.
Yeah, they have their, class time or whatever with tutors and all that good stuff and pregame meal. And
I don't know about you
guys. I could see them leaving early in the morning and then basically arriving and finding out there's no game and driving back.
I don't know about you guys. I would not have done well with class time on game day.
No, I don't think any of these guys do either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think.
Like game day and travel day, I wouldn't do well. Then get me back into my regular routine, I'm okay.
Sorry, the tweet that I saw from Vols Basketball before that said Nashville and back again, and it was a preview from last night of tonight's game.
Gotcha.
Saying Nashville, then back to Knoxville to play it again.
All right, so we don't know about their travel.
Then the next tweet from them was Tuesday night's game has been postponed.
So we don't know about their
travel. Wah, wah.
We don't know about their travel, but we know there's no basketball tonight.
No hoops at Memorial Gym. Tennessee was a 12-point favorite, I saw, going into tonight. And by the way, Kentucky's now figured things out.
Yeah, they've since that Vandy game.
They look like a team that could be a contender in the SEC with the talent they have.
Oh.
They're still
it's not what I want.
Two games away from getting back to 500. They're 4-6 overall.
But it's inevitable, right?
They're 3-0 in the SEC.
That's not what I want.
I don't think it's what anyone that's not a Kentucky fan wants.
It's like Alabama winning the football championship.
I don't think you're alone there.
We'll discuss that coming up. 615-737-1045, our number. Chad compared college football to something that...
Oh, this was brilliant. This is some of Chad's best work of the new year.
He's argued with many people throughout the history of this show on this other sport, and he compared college football to this.
And no, it's not college baseball.
That's a great tease. And Paul's right. That's another good part. Good element of the tease. It's not college baseball. College football has become a certain sport. I will tell you what sport later in the show.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue. They're online, edleysbbq.com. Blake Bedingfield coming up at 10:15 today.
We got some great calls yesterday. I think we can do it again today.
You think so?
We came in pissed off for greatness, and we got even more pissed off for greatness when Dan Patrick played instead of us at 9 a.m. And now the phone lines are open for you to bring it with the same energy that we've been bringing it for this first hour. 615-737-1045. 737-1045.
How interested were you in watching the national championship game last year or last night? Last year, the year prior,
I was not particularly interested. And once Alabama started to pull away, I was really not interested. Kind of had half an eye on it. I missed all the shots of Butch Jones, and by third quarter, I was out.
I don't know how you missed them, because that guy
positions himself right next to Najee Harris, right next to
Devontae Smith catches a touchdown.
Devontae Smith, he's right there.
There at the edge of the 30 whenever he's running back to the sideline on purpose.
Alabama's greatness to me does not feel, and this is a bigger conversation that we could get into later or another day, it does not feel similar to me to dynasties like Celtics or Yankees or anything like that. It does not feel the same. It does not feel those are somehow generally good for the sport. This is not good for the sport right now. And I can't put my finger necessarily on why, but, and we don't see Celtics, Yankees, Bulls, dynasties in pro sports right now, generally speaking.
I don't know if it's
Patriots.
I don't know if it's bad for the sport. I mean, the fan bases are just as passionate as ever about their individual teams. But I think, you know, what's bad is, you know, going in that you're not winning the national title. Like that's the difference, is you don't have the 10 to 12 teams battling for the title like we may have been able to argue 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Before we get to our disgust with the sport in the game last night.
Yeah.
Credit where credit is due. That may be the best Bama team of all time.
Tremendous.
I mean, to go 10-0 in an SEC-only schedule and then eventually go 13-0.
And the talent.
With the games they played and the talent on offense and the production on offense and everything else.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Nick Saban loves that team. I believe him when he says his best players are some of the best people on the team. And that's when you know you've got something good.
Yeah.
When your best and most talented players are also the best people.
Chad,
I believe that with this Alabama team, so congrats to them.
And just to pick up on that, I was talking with Coach Mack last night, and I said, how many future pros are we watching right now on the field? And he goes, 22.
that's not bad.
I mean, is that easy to him? He's like, just everywhere you look, there is someone who will be in a camp in May, and there's someone who you're looking at, someone who will be taking someone else's roster spot right now. That's how good both of those teams were.
But when you look at the current state of the sport and a chase for a national championship every year, it looks a lot more like women's college basketball than the college football I grew up loving. There are really two or three teams that can win every year, and that's it. I go to The Athletic this morning, read about the game, they're right up on it. And the second story is, oh, look, once again, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, odds on favorites to repeat and have the highest odds a year from now to win the national championship. Alabama just got statistically the best recruiting class in the history of college football recruiting coming in next year. That's what just happened. It's never going to end. When I argued that UConn women are awful for the sport of women's college basketball, I was right. It was. Ratings were going down. People got tired of it.
The gap was too big.
There was UConn fatigue.
The gap was too big.
The fact that people are arguing this is a great show of perseverance by Alabama because it had been three long years since they won a national title is ridiculous. And I don't know how you change it. If Nick Saban is coaching in Alabama, it's never going to end. If Dabo Sweeney's at Clemson, not going to end. Ohio State is a machine that's going to continue right on mowing people down in the Big Ten. This sounds insane, but I would welcome back the old antiquated bowl system at this point. I'd rather have regional bowl games where we argue at the end of the year who actually won the national title. I would rather have that than what we have right now in college football. I cannot get excited about Alabama and Ohio State, and I especially can't get excited after a quarter and a half when it's clear Alabama's going to kill them. It's a problem with the sport.
I was part of a debate on Twitter about more teams being in the tournament being ultimately a solution. They said, more? You're just going to see more blowouts. I think if you went to eight, yeah, there'd be more blowouts for a while. But if those other four teams could recruit and say, we're in the tournament, it makes them more appealing. It gives them more of a chance to pull guys away, doesn't it? Ultimately, it's better than this.
Yeah, but I mean, you can. Ohio State's currently doing that, and they're getting slapped around by Alabama last night.
I get it.
Ohio State can recruit and say, we're going to play for a national title when you're here.
Right, and lose by
you see what I'm saying?
Significant margin. But am I wrong? If you have a chance to get the eighth spot, it's going to be better for you than it is now.
Sure. Yeah.
So at least do that.
Great for Cincinnati to go play Alabama in the first round of the college football playoff, 1-8.
Right. And they'll get spanked, right? For sure. But maybe in 5 years something happens where they could upset them once every –
Yeah, eventually you'll be able to recruit because Nick Saban will be dead. I mean, that will be able to happen.
Well, and then they're going to have to make a bad hire. Two things have to happen because it could be Urban Meyer to Ryan Day, and it just continues to roll right along for Bama if they make the right hire.
Sure.
But it would be like a mid-major going to the NCAA tournament basketball, right? They may get blown out, but at least Cincinnati gets a chance to say they made it to a playoff. And it makes it more interesting the rest of the year for more teams. So I'm for that.
They can sell it.
Yeah, I would prefer 8-4 if that's going to be the system. But I don't know that it's going to change who wins at all. But it definitely gives a few more teams a chance to be interested in a season to where they maybe could go to the tournament. And I saw someone last night saying, make it like the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And really open it up to, and I'm thinking
it's not practice.
But the intrigue of the NCAA men's basketball tournament is, you can have a 15 beat a 2, you have occasionally those 14 seeds beat a 3 every year, 12-5. Basketball is set up where you have upsets, and that's what we love about the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. But now as the tournament goes on, we still pay more attention to Kansas and Kentucky in the Final Four as opposed to George Mason and VCU.
You also play twice.
When you get to those
games.
Right. But football would just be a bludgeoning when you look at the top four or five teams compared to everyone else. Again, I'm not coming in with solutions to it. The solution is you need other programs. You need kids across America to decide that we're going to distribute the wealth and give 4 and 5 stars everywhere. And not most of them going to Alabama, Ohio State, and all the top. If Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson are going to have the top three recruiting classes in America every year with their coaching and their infrastructure, it's just going to continue.
Let's do that. Let's close down the free market and create a draft system where they can only have so many 5 stars. And then the other 5 stars have to go somewhere else.
See, but I don't buy that either.
Yeah,
because these other coaches are getting paid $5, $6, $7 million a year
to go
lose to these teams. Like,
I think the
bar should be higher for those coaches and these major programs that lose to these top tier teams every year.
Well, Dabo figured out a way.
It is time to rise to the occasion rather than pout and say, "Oh, those guys have they get all the 5 stars." You're allowed to go and out-recruit them.
I agree. Clemson
you
wasn't...
You have to outwork them.
Clemson wasn't a blue blood, right?
You got outpaid.
Clemson found a way to become...
But I mean, let's face it. If I'm South Carolina, all right, and I'm going head-to-head with Bama in recruiting, I heard Doug Matthews talking about this, and we'll talk to him on Wednesday. You talk about pushing the envelope in recruiting? I mean, a reasonable mind would say, you got to do more than push the envelope. if I'm going to convince a kid to go to South Carolina right now over Alabama. So
you got
to
pass the
envelope. Are we all for that to balance out the scales?
Let's also,
because if all the envelope pushing is similar, Bama's still going to keep winning.
Envelope passing.
Let's also say this about Alabama, though. They're not Ole Miss. Hugh Freeze can do this at Ole Miss, and everyone knows what's going on there with the type of talent he's got. You know?
Yeah.
The money is being spread out, and they're wealthy there to pay. With some of the, I mean, just look at the talent
people
that he had at
Alabama
Ole Miss.
Now. People expected it at Alabama. They didn't expect it at Ole Miss.
But see, I was thinking this last night. I don't think they get enough credit for outworking other staffs. People think that they just roll out the red carpet and everyone. I think they're outworking these other staffs just as much.
Well, they also use the loophole and have 15 analysts and other schools.
Sure.
Don't.
Great.
So go get your 15
analysts. Use the loophole. That's outworking the competition.
Also, Clemson is not one of these schools that's been historically fantastic. They don't have Ohio State's history or Alabama's history. They found a way to do it. So where's the next Clemson?
But to me, like, it's more than just, oh, they must be cheating. Trust me, your school is cheating too,
absolutely.
And you're bad at it.
No one's saying that. No one's saying that. They're better at cheating than everyone else. Yeah. But also, I mean, it's at Ole Miss, you say, well, you got to cheat to get those players. At Alabama,
and I'm using them as the example because they competed.
Right. Alabama, the perception is they don't have to cheat. Well, everyone's pushing the envelope. Everyone to get the players they need. This isn't. Don't take this as me saying I blame Alabama for this. They're dominant. They got the best coach in the history of college football. They're a program that had won a ton before that. So I get it. I understand why players go to Alabama. I understand why they win national titles. It's not me blaming them. I'm just telling you the byproduct of this is for a lifelong college football fan like me, the sport has been diminished. I find myself gravitating more and more towards the NFL than college football. Now, would I still rather go to a college football game of impact than NFL game? Absolutely.
Just the pageantry of a 30-point
blowout. Well, and even on television, I love a good, big-time college football game and everything that comes with that. But it just feels hollow when we get to this point every year. When we get to this Monday night or we get to this college football playoff, the haves and have-nots have never been further apart than they are right now. And I don't see it changing anytime soon.
And it's
and that's not Alabama's fault. Alabama is taking advantage of everything that they have in place right now, and good for them.
And it seems to be a universal opinion amongst the respected college football writers that the sport is in a worse place right now than it's been in some time. I think it's a universal opinion. It's not fun to watch this many blowouts at this high level of competition.
I don't know how fun it is for Alabama fans anymore, quite frankly.
I would hope it's not fun.
When you win six, he's won six at Alabama, seven all time. It becomes pretty routine when it's an every other year type recurrence.
Last night's boring as hell. Boring as hell.
I'm not saying that the Alabama fans aren't happy.
Yeah.
And aren't going to tout all the national.
It was fun for about a quarter and a half. Yeah,
there's no tension to it.
It was fun for about a quarter and a half.
And your best player is going to the locker room, and you're not worried at all.
Going to the locker room at halftime after, what, three touchdowns and 200 yards
broke
receiving?
Broke a national championship game record for receptions and touchdowns in the first half.
And is anybody saying, oh, my God.
12 catches, 215 yards, three touchdowns.
Oh, my God, the Heisman Trophy winner is going to the locker room. How are we going to manage? There's none of that. That's not normal.
Nor at Ohio State, whenever their running back left and went to the hospital.
Yeah, it's I don't like the sport as much as I once liked it. I just don't enjoy it. It's everyone each year has to determine what your level is, and you play to that level. That's basically what fans' expectations are. Every year, Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson, it's a failure if they don't reach the college football playoff.
And I will say
that's the way it's set up. And everyone else is thinking, hey, maybe we can get to seven wins.
It was a better regular season in that the cupcake games weren't around because it was all conference play. I'll say that.
Well, the cupcake games now are some of the only joy a lot of fan bases will have. It's sad, but I mean, if you're a Vandy fan or a Tennessee fan this year, I'll put both of them in there. You know, you might have a few enjoyable weekends if you're playing Charleston Southern.
We're going to have a night out prior to the Pittsburgh game?
I mean, those are the ones that, okay, you like that, right? I mean, you like a Tennessee-Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
I mean, you like those.
Well, that's
but not
a reasonable match.
No, I'm just, I'm saying, can we go ahead and plan it?
Sure.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue.